Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Check a dictionary and you will find an entry like this. H.G. Wells, 1886-1946. English novelist, journalist, sociologist, and historian. In 1939, Wells wrote a book entitled The Holy Terror, dealing with the psychological development and aberrations of Stalin, Mussolini, and Hitler. Following World War II, he wrote his last book entitled Mind at the End of Its Tether. In this dark and pessimistic book, he said, "The world is at the end of its tether. The end of everything we call life is close at hand and cannot be evaded. There is no way out or around or through the impasse. It is the end." Yes, you can say, that hasn't happened. Yet a casual reading of a newspaper or news magazine or viewing the evening television news reminds us it's a mad, mad world. How else account for the hatred between Jews and Arabs? How else explain the hatred that drives terrorists to destroy themselves in a suicide bombing mission with the hopes that they can take a few other lives with them? How else explain the mentality of high school students who plan an attack on fellow students, hoping to kill a significant number of innocent others, realizing they are bound to be killed at the same time? There's a quote from Oliver Goldsmith that says, "The dog, to gain his private ends, went mad and bit the man." Okay, when a dog goes mad, you shoot it. Then examine the animal to see if he has rabies. But when a leader goes mad, the whole world suffers. Shakespeare's description, "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing," better describes life in the 21st century than Elizabethan England. When someone goes mad, they are properly described as insane and institutionalized. Dr. Carl Menninger, often remembered for his quote, "Love is a medicine for the sickness of the world," used to draw a line horizontally. Then on one side he would write sane and on the opposite end, insane. He would then tell his students that there is no clear line you draw or mark when you move from sanity to insanity. He would explain that everyone moves back and forth on this continuum of life. When you were in control, you were considered to be sane. But when you're no longer able to function in a normal manner, you're insane. The reality of life today is that we are facing unprecedented pressures and stress. Part of it is the result of more and more choices. Financial pressures, relationships that have gone sour, unfulfilled expectations, and disappointments. Yes, lots of them. We feel like a juggler who keeps picking up crystal balls, tossing more into the air, thinking that he can handle just one more, until he misses one and they all come crashing down. Dr. Menninger used to say that a fish with a hook in its jaw looks and swims perfectly normal to other fish, until the fisherman starts pulling on the line. That's when the fish flops in the water and his fellow fish say, "He's crazy, look at him." There are reasons why people go mad in our world today. And there are also things you can do to keep your sanity in a mad, mad world. Time's almost gone on this edition of Guidelines, but I'll tell you the first and most important thing you need to keep your sanity in a mad, mad world. The first step is keeping your perspective, and that includes a God element who defines the boundaries and limits of our world. You can keep your sanity in a mad world. Leaving God out of the equation of your life leaves you with a blind spot that produces lostness. Your thinking becomes fuzzy. Your logic is skewed. And that is why you need God to keep your perspective. I'm Harold Sala. I hope you'll invite a neighbor or a friend, an office mate, to listen with you. You can download what you hear by going to our webpage at guidelines.org. Click on the date for today and download the series.